Watching on Facebook this morning. Happy New Year to everyone. Belated Merry Christmas, right? How many still eating on Christmas dinner? So I want to welcome everyone this morning. Be in prayer this morning for our pastor. He's got COVID this morning. And so be in prayer for him as he recovers. So, you know, we've come a long way in 3 years, right? Used to when you got COVID, you couldn't do nothing. You couldn't look up, couldn't look down, couldn't breathe, couldn't see nobody. And now it's, praise God, it's get over it and get back to work, right? So we just be in prayer for him. There's a lot of folks that are sick. We got a lot of respiratory issues going around right now. So it's that time of year, right? So this is what happens every year. So, again, just want to welcome everyone. Happy New Year to everyone. Brother Paul will be bringing the message this morning and teaching a lesson since Brian's not going to be able to be here this morning. So just be in prayer for Brother Paul. And a lot of good things going on. The youth went and attended Winter Extreme down in Gatlinburg this past week and had a good time down there. We thank God that he brought them down there and brought them back safely, and they had a good time, and so just be in prayer for them. And then also, too, just a few reminders. Tonight's service, we're going to do regular schedule. We're going to do a combination of things here tonight, so we're going to have a video called The Shepherds by the same group that did the production or produced The Chosen, and it's going to be about a 20-minute video doing some instruction and looking at Christmas and the shepherd's view of the birth of Christ. So it's going to be really interesting to see. Well, we forget a lot of these things, guys, that the Bible is God's true word, right? There's nothing fallible about it. It's infallible. But we need to always take perspective to see it's not just us Baptists here in Southwest Virginia, right? God speak and died for, sent his son to die for everyone, no matter where you're at in this world. So we need to be able to look from other people's perspectives. So it'll be a good one tonight to watch that video. Again, we'll continue to be in prayer for Brother Brian, and then we're going to end the service as a prayer service for this coming year. It is January 1st, right? So I don't expect we're going to have any fewer challenges in 2023 that we had in 2022, I don't think. This is the way things are shaping up this very moment. So we need to be very much in prayer for each other, continue to be in prayer for Roy, our pastor Brian, and be in prayer for this church. You know, it's good to see everyone here. I still see we still are all struggling, right, coming out of 3 years of COVID. What do? We get a cold. We want to be considerate of everybody. We don't want to do this. We don't do that. But we need to come together because we're still instructed to come together as what God's Word says we're supposed to do here. So let's be very much in prayer for that and be in prayer for what God will call you to do in the year of 2023. Because last time I checked, he's still saving people. He's still blessing people. We're all here this morning, so we're blessed to be here, and we're here to worship him. So just be in prayer for those needs. Also, too, there'll be a deacons meeting on January the 9th in the pastor's office. There'll be a church council meeting here this evening as well. And, again, we just have many here that we need to be in prayer for. And let's just be joyous, right? We're here to worship. It's not about Frank. It's not about the deacons. It's not about this team up here. It's not about you. It's here to worship our Lord and Savior here for what he's done for us and where we want to go from here. You know, I've been reading a lot in the scriptures talking about peace, right? So peace doesn't mean everything's going right. You're getting a raise. You got your extra vacation. You bought a new car. You're adding on to the house. That's not what peace is. Peace is knowing who you serve and that no matter what happens, you still have him and he's still there. Because things don't go easy all the time, or they don't in my life, and I pray that they do in yours. But let's just be in prayer for the peace that God can provide us. Let's just focus ourselves. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Just bow our heads. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the service this morning. So, our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can be here, Lord, on January the 1st, 2023. And we just thank you, Lord, for this group of people that are here to worship, Lord, and those watching online as well. We just ask a special blessing on those. And then if there's anyone in the parking lot that's listening through 88.1, Lord, that you would just bless them as well. We thank you, Lord, that you've just brought us so far. We thank you that you blessed this building, Lord, that there was no issues with this building, that we can be here in comfort this morning, Lord, and that we can be here to worship you. We don't have to worry about being too hot or too cold or the toilets aren't working or the water's not working. God, you just take care of it all. and we're so grateful for that. And we just ask, Lord, that those upon our hearts and minds of members of our church, our brothers and sisters in Christ that are sick or going through some situations in their life, Lord, that you just give them that peace that we spoke about that only you can give, Lord. And we just ask you to be with Paul this morning as he brings the lesson. And God, just bless, we want to praise your name and just bless us as we truly and wholeheartedly worship you this morning. And in Jesus' name and for his sake we do pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. Happy New Year 2023. I know 2022 has been the worst year of my life, but I can still find some blessings. And I know a lot of people are struggling, but if you look closely, you can find some blessings even in the midst. Our first song, Revelation 21, 1 through 2. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Praise the Lord, we will have a new Jerusalem.
Must be the light. We give praise to God. And as Miss Nancy makes her way to the piano, thank you, Nancy. What a blessing to have her there. If you want to grab a hymnal and stand and join us as we want to give praise to God be the glory. Number 4 in your hymnal. No book, no. Nope, we're ready for you. We're waiting on you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Revelations 4, 2 through 8. And there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled in the throne. Encircled the throne. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In the center around the throne were four living creatures. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come."
Thank you.
praise to our God.
Good morning, church. Happy New Year. It's good to see everybody here. It's always good to be in the house of God. It's always good to have the privilege to come and worship Him. A wonderful song, Revelation song. That's been worth the trip already. Again, our pastor, Brother Brian's under the weather right now, and we need to be praying for him. We need to be praying for each other. As a Christian, we're taught to encourage the brother. And that's the very least we can do, is try to be an encouragement to each other. We're a child of God. We're here to serve Jesus Christ. And sometimes you wonder, well, I can't do a whole lot. I don't know what I can do even. But you can at least pray for each other and encourage the brother, if you will. I'm glad to see everyone's here. Some of you may be here with good, dedicated spouses. And the ultimatum may have been either get here or we're not having dinner, one or the other. So however you got here, why you got here, I'm glad you're here. So I'm going to try to teach a little scripture this morning. I ask you to pray for me. Remember Brother Brian, this today would be his 6-year anniversary with us. Church, we have been a blessed church. 6 years is 6 years, but I remember some days when there was no pastor, and life's not good when there's no pastor, I'll just tell you, especially if you're a deacon. There's some restless nights, there's some angry people, and the hardest thing in the world is try to teach Christians to be patient sometimes. And we have to learn to wait upon God. And in His time, and His will, and His way, things will come about. So we are a blessed church to have a pastor. From our teaching this morning, I'm coming from Luke chapter 4, all the way from verse 1, clean down to verse 4. I have to read notes because I can't remember anymore. But that's all right. As you get older, you'll learn. As precious Sister Ruby Keck used to tell me, she said, old age ain't for sissies. And it's not. And if you ain't got there yet, just give it time. But let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll try to read these verses. Father, I do thank you again for the day you blessed me with. Thank you for the opportunity to stand and try to teach your word. And Father, you know me. You know my heart. I just pray, Father, that I'd be a vessel worthy of your use. So, Father, please give me the words I need to speak to be an encouragement to my brothers and sisters. And Father, if there be lost souls in the house, may you use your words to draw that person to you. May your convicting power be upon any lost soul that's here today, because they need you more than they need anything. And there's times they don't see, they don't understand just yet. Father, I ask you to open their eyes. Holy Spirit, do your work as only you can. And again, just help me to speak in a manner that will bring honor and glory to you. because it's all about Jesus, and it's in your precious name I ask. Amen. Starting with verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God.'" And so what I'm looking at today is, if you will, the temptation of Christ. By the way, we know it's a new year, but in the past year behind you, did you experience any temptations or trials of the last year? And do you think you'll be immune to temptations and trial in this coming new year? We're all human. We're not in a sin-free heaven yet. We still have sin and Satan to contend with. And you understand Satan's job or his task is to distract you from being your full potential for Jesus Christ. If you're a saved person, he can't take your salvation away from you. There's no way he can touch that. But he can try to destroy your Christian witness. He can try to distract you from being about God's work that he has for you. If you remember Ephesians 2, verse 8, 9, and 10, especially verse 10, says God has a plan for each and every one of us. But we notice here in verse 1, again, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Jesus is returning from the Jordan River. He has just been baptized. If you glance over in chapter 3, verse 22 there, that was at the baptism of Jesus. It says, "The Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" If you will, that verse there alone declares the Trinity. You have the Father in heaven. You have the Son that's just baptized. You have the Holy Spirit that just descends down upon him. But Jesus is returning from his baptism. He's starting his ministry. He lived 33 and a half years. He had a 3.5-year ministry. The age of 30 is unique to the Jewish culture. That's when a man was old enough to become, to fulfill like priestly offices and that type of thing. If you'll notice, as you study in the Old Testament, there's a structure and an order to everything that God deals with mankind. You don't just jump into something. You grow, you develop, you mature, you serve. And then you grow and develop and mature some more, and you serve some more. You go into an echelon of service for God in your life. But it says here, Jesus is said to be full of he, the Holy Spirit. And I say, you read the verse, and a lot of them say the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. For everybody's clarification, I'm saying he, the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are three distinct persons. And he is the Holy Ghost, if you will, but sometimes ghost puts different thoughts in people's heads. And Baptists are notorious for straying away from the Holy Ghost. We don't like to talk about it because we don't understand that much about it. We got scripture that states a lot of other stuff about the Father and the Son, but for some reason, and then you've got other denominations that take the Holy Ghost and go with him. And you know where I'm coming from. We're not going down that road. But I'm just saying, he, the Holy Spirit, has descended upon Christ at his baptism here. And now it says the Holy Spirit, and now he's led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Why do we have to experience trials and temptations? Why did Jesus deal with this? Why did he have to go through this? If you think in your Christian walk, the day you came to Christ and became a believer, put your faith and your trust and your hope in Jesus Christ, it would have been all well and good if Jesus just took you home then. But he didn't. He's left you here for a purpose. We're here to serve God. We're here to be an encouragement to those around us. We're here to be a witness to those around us. You had in your Sunday school class today in verse, I think it was 22, a mention says we're to be ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is representative. So we're to look like, act like, walk like, and talk like Christ in our walk, in our daily life. That's what he expects of us. But why do you have to experience trials and temptations? Without trials and temptations, you never grow. You'll never get any stronger. Your faith, you'll never grow your faith. You'll never increase in your faith without obstacles in your road that you have to deal with. Now, you're not by yourself, and that's a part of growing too. As you mature, you understand there's some things in your life you're going to encounter that are above and beyond you that you can't handle. And the only answer is to turn it over to Jesus and let his will be done. Now, it may not be what you want and the way you think it ought to turn out, but you've got to understand, Jesus knows the beginning to the end. He knows where you're at. He knows where you're going to be, and he knows what he expects of you. Now, he's not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. He's giving you a free will. But when you put your time into Scripture and your daily prayer life with Christ, you'll learn and understand more about what he's done for you. And then you get to a point to where how could you be so callous to not care about how you live your life? You know, why don't you make him more of a focus in your life? And in time, he will. But again, just as Jesus was equipped by God for the task that lay ahead, we Christians, according to Romans 12 and 3, and let me read that for you, some verses you need to hear to bring the point across. Romans 12 and 3 tells us we've all been given a measure of faith with the indwelling of He, the Holy Spirit, to accomplish the task ahead of us. Verse 3 of Romans 12 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So, when you come to the church, you become a part of the body, and there's missions, there's tasks to be taken on, and you just sit there and say, "Well, I can't do that." Well, according to God's word, you can. The Holy God will lead you as to what he expects you to do, but he gives you that measure of faith. Now, it's up to you to grow your faith. By growing your faith, you study, you improve your relationship with Jesus Christ. You grow, you mature, you develop. And that's the key to the Christian walk. We have to grow. Without trials and temptations, we just stay on the same plateau. We don't care. And sadly to say, I'm afraid that's where the majority of the church is today. Not just this church, but the church as a whole in our nation. Everybody's comfortable where they're at. I don't want to move. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do nothing. I'm entitled to do what I want to do. But you got to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, and you find out Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid a great price for you. You owe him something. Granted, it was a gift, but he did something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. and he deserves the acknowledgement of what he's done for you. And we also note in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, states, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So you can't depend on what you see ahead of you or what you perceive. You've got to walk by faith with God. And he will take you through the trials, through the tribulations, through the troubles. Our faith has to be constant. We have to stay focused on God, though. That's the key. You've got to understand he wants the very best for us. Sometimes in growing up, you learn you have to work to get what you want. And once you accomplish it, if you work for something and get it, I'll guarantee you, you'll take a lot better care of it than if somebody just hands it to you and says, here, take this, be happy with it. You'll waste it or whatever. But if you have to work for it, you learn to appreciate things a lot better. Now, I'm not saying you work for your salvation. I'm saying salvation is a gift. But because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, that's the very least we owe him, is our service and obedience to him. Now, verse 2 says, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Jesus was being led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He was 40 days tempted of the devil, Satan or Lucifer, however, whatever name you want to put on him. He was the same person. When the ministry of Jesus was started, he was full of the Holy Spirit. We should not be surprised then that according to Ephesians 5 and 18, Christians are exhorted to be filled by the Spirit. Ephesians 5 and 18 says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit. And how are you filled with the Spirit? You're given a measure of faith. Then you grow that faith by your obedience and your service to God. And that's how you become more filled of the Spirit. When you learn to let go of yourself and allow more of God into you, to control your body, your lifestyle, you're going to be a much happier person. I can guarantee you that. But let me ask you, can you be 90% in the world and 10% in prayer and Bible study and be filled and obedient to Jesus? There's no way under the sun you can do that. You have to learn to commit yourself to Christ. You're either a negative or a positive witness for Christ, one or the other. You can be a Christian and not allow yourself to mature and develop, and you're going to be one of those Christians that the world looks at and says, well, if they're a Christian, I'm just as much as they are. You know, if you're a positive Christian, they'll see there's a difference in you. You say different than what others do. You go to different places other than what they do. You stand out. But you're standing out on the positive end of it. You're supposed to be a reflection of Jesus Christ in your daily walk. Also note that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now listen, evidently, being under the influence of the Spirit does not mean uninterrupted peace and tranquility. Jesus was in the middle of the Judean wilderness, a completely barren place. And verse 2 states, after the 40 days, he was hungry because he hadn't eaten 40 days. And now he was under spiritual attack by Satan. No one would volunteer for this assignment. Nevertheless, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, understand this point. You cannot measure your spiritual condition by your circumstances. Jesus' circumstances were bleak. He's in the Judean wilderness. But he was in the center of God's will for him because that's where God, through the Holy Spirit, had led him to. He was being obedient. That's the key to the Christian walk, is to be obedient to where God leads you to go and do. Likewise, just because your external circumstances appear to be smooth, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're spiritually healthy. And believe you me, there will come crises in your life that will test your faith, that will test your relationship, if you're really who you say you are, or if you're really who you want to be. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 through 47, these verses really, really speak volumes. 45 says, And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So why, just to ask yourself, why was Jesus in the wilderness? We know the Holy Spirit led him there, but why was he in the wilderness? Why would Jesus need to go to the wilderness? Understand, he was the second, what we call the second or the last Adam. The first Adam that God created, put on the earth, succumbed to Satan's temptation through Eve. When Adam fell, all men fell. The devil tempted the first Adam and succeeded in having him kicked out of the garden. You remember he was in the Garden of Eden. Now he's kicked into the wilderness. Go to Genesis 3 and read that chapter, verses 1 through 24, and you'll get the complete story. The first Adam was on the defense and lost. But we see here the second Adam, that's Jesus Christ, who came for us, played offense using the Word of God. That's how he fought Satan, was with his words, with the Word of God. Empowered by he, the Holy Spirit, he went into the wilderness to face the devil so that he might bring humanity back to the garden. Though he was physically hungry from a lack of food, he was spiritually nourished for a spiritual battle. You understand, in the first round, if you will, the first Adam, when there was Adam and Eve, Adam, because of his sin, because of his fall, he got kicked out of the garden into the wilderness. Here Jesus goes into the wilderness, defeats Satan, and brings us back to the garden. The garden's going to be heaven. That's going to be the garden. You understand, Satan is our foe. But Satan is no match for God. There is no contest. And too many times, people look at the power. We think Satan is so powerful. Granted, he's no match for us, but he is no competition whatsoever for God. God created him. God gave him life. That's the only reason he existed, is because God allowed him to come on the scene. Now, verse 3. Let's get back to where we're at. Verse 3, and the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Satan spoke three temptations to Jesus in this chapter, but they were all driving to the same point. He speaks here, this is the only one I'm looking at, is the bread. He says, turn this rock into bread and eat. Yeah. The second one is the temptation where he takes him up on the mountaintop, the pinnacle, and he can see off to the kingdoms of the world all down through time. And Satan offers them to Jesus if he'll bow down and worship him. And Jesus doesn't fall for that either, of course. Then he takes it to the pinnacle of the temple back in Jerusalem, and he says, jump off the temple here. And if God's who he says he is and you're who you say you are, he'll protect you. He'll shield your fall, you know. Well, Jesus could have done any of those and been fine. But the point that Satan was trying to drive at Christ was, would Jesus act independently of God? Would he go off on his own and act independent, do it himself? There are some educated people in here, and I'm sure somebody could tell me where this came from. Right offhand, I've heard of it, but I don't know where it came from. But there is an expression in the world, and it's divide and conquer. And we've always heard that as a war theory. You know, if you divide them up, if you can break them off into littler groups, you can overtake them and conquer them. Well, that's what Satan is trying to do here with God, the Trinity. He's trying to separate Jesus from the Father. So he thinks he can conquer the Son and not the Father. But that's the question. That's the whole crux of the matter, is would Jesus act independently of God? This is the question that we face in each wilderness experience we encounter. When I encounter a wilderness, a temptation, a trial I'm going through, will I act independently of God? Will I try to do it on my own? Or am I smart enough to understand I've got to have God's help? I've got to keep my relationship right with God. And if it's His will, He'll allow me to overcome this problem. If it's not His will, He knows what's best, and it's going to be better off in the end, you know. But you've got to understand, without God, we can do nothing. And that's why it's so important for the Christian to stay focused on God in your daily walk. Now, I know you're younger and you're out working and you're making a living and you've got to do this and you've got to do that, and you keep crowding God out of the picture. You know, well, I had to do this. I didn't have time to stop and pray. I didn't have time to study today. If your life is so busy you don't have time for prayer and Bible study, you're too busy. That's just the facts of life. When you cut Jesus out of your life, you're shooting yourself in the foot. When you're distracting from your relationship with Jesus, you're separating yourself. You're getting out on an island to yourself. And that's where you come into the danger. You've got to stay focused on Christ. Now, the if clause here in verse 3, let me read it again. It says, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. The if clause doesn't mean Satan was tempting Jesus to prove that he was the Son of God. The devil knows who Jesus is. The if clause assumes the reality of the statement. In other words, Satan was saying, since you are the Son of God, here's what the Son of God should do. In other words, if you lose your focus on God, you start making decisions on your own, and that ain't always the best thing to do. If you're not praying about situations in your life before you make decisions, I'm afraid you're on dangerous ground sometimes. Now, verse 4, but Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Though Satan had identified a genuine need in Jesus' life, he knows he's hungry. He said, turn this rock to bread and eat. He tempted him to fill the need in an illegitimate way. He is questioning God's willingness to provide for him. He said, Jesus, you're the Son of God. You do it yourself. But you understand, everything comes from God. All our blessings come from God. And so Jesus wasn't fooled. His response by quoting, but of course Jesus wasn't fooled, because he responded by quoting Scripture. Scripture is the bedrock of God's truth. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8 and 3. Jesus, the Son of God, faced the devil while full of He, the Holy Spirit, and armed with the Word of God. Why would you do otherwise today? We have the same capability. We have the same options as Jesus had. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. He's your comforter. He's your guide. He's the one that gives you discernment. That's how you can sit down and read the Bible, and He will give you discernment to understand it, because a lot of people say, no need me going there because I don't understand it. It's all a bunch of gibberish to me. To me, yes. But if we allow God to speak to us through His Word, He will give you the understanding. If you seek it, you will find it in His Word. And that's the key. We as Christians must learn to stand on God's Word. And again, in order to do that, we must study and pray. Jesus went into the wilderness for you and me. Because of all He has done, we now have the promise of fellowship with Him in His garden for all eternity. Have you ever sat down and really tried to imagine how long eternity is? I used to, when I was teaching some of the younger classes, I had an hourglass. And I would bring it and I would set it up and I'd say, okay, if you imagine each grain of sand is just say 80 years, an average lifespan. Each grain of sand that goes through there is 80 years. How many grains are going in there? How many years is that that's going into the bottom of that glass? I mean, this is just a fragile hint of what eternity is. Because the thing is, with eternity, and my example, when the glass gets empty and everything's in the bottom, you turn it back up and it starts again. Eternity goes on and on and on. There is no end. But that's what God is offering to mankind, is eternity in heaven with Him, with a permanent relationship with the Creator, with the Ancient of Days, with the One that spoke everything into existence. He is the Almighty, the Great I Am. You know, so probably most people sit around and watch some football yesterday, or in the last week you've watched a football game, and there's winners and losers in every game. But that's the thing with Jesus. If you're a child of God, you're on the winning team. There is no way you're going to lose. There's no tie in it. There's no overtime to it. It's a done deal. You're the winner if you're in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you really need to seek Him out, to try to learn what you can about how to become a Christian. If you have questions, if the Holy Spirit deals with you, call a pastor, call your deacons, talk to somebody, find out, learn the Romans Road. You know, we can show you that. But you understand, every person is born for eternity. And you're going to live eternally. The only question is where. It's either eternal damnation in the lake of fire or eternity in heaven in the New Jerusalem that we're sung about. I mean, people, this is going to be the greatest thing you can ever imagine. So, I wanted to bring these scriptures to you, just trying to encourage you for this new year. You've got to be on your guard in this upcoming year just as much as you were in the past year. You've got to stay focused on God, not on yourself. You're not going to fix it. I'll just tell you that right now. You're not going to fix it. If it's going to be fixed, God will be the one taking care of it. But as Christians, that's the least we can do, is encourage the brother and the sister and be the witness God's called us to be. And as I try to remember to tell every Sunday school class, remember whose you are this week. Again, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, you belong to Christ. If you're a child of God, you belong to Him. And He wants to see that out of us. He wants to see us live like that. And when we do, you don't have to put words in your witness to the world around you. They'll see the difference. They'll know whose you are. And that's the key. There's a lot of times you're seen, but you don't get the opportunity to speak. And people judge you by what they see. So just remember whose you are. Everything you say, every idle word, every idle action, any response, you know, people watch. People draw their own conclusions. Just try your surrender over to reading more scripture and your prayer life. Improve, make a goal to improve your relationship with Christ this year. And we'll see a more unified body in the church. We'll see our church grow. We'll see God's church grow. I'm sorry. This is not our or my church. This is God's church. And that's how we need to look at it as well. We belong to Him. He purchased us. That's all I've got. Does anybody have any comments, questions? If not, remember, we'll be open this evening. And we'll look to see you back this evening for service. If we could, let's have a word of prayer and then you'll be dismissed. Father, we do thank you for the time you blessed us with. And Lord, I just pray that something was said or something was read to enlighten someone, to be an encouragement to them, to stay the course, to stay strong with you, to live out the Christian life. Again, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for this church family. I ask your blessings upon each and every one. And Father, I ask you to go with us now throughout the day. Have your way and your will in our lives. In Jesus' holy and precious name I ask. Amen.